The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Table Talk. Now, the episode that we're going to be doing today is the beginning of a short series that we're going to be doing called How to Get the Most Out of Church. So I think we all would like that, right?
Yeah, it should be fun. Even if you're not a churchgoer, you might find it interesting. So
Yeah, absolutely. So just before we do get into that, we have another review.
So this review comes to us from the United States, from Haley. And we were just discussing how we could abbreviate your name, Haley,
to make it Australian.
So my preference is Hey. Mm-hmm. What did you settle on?
I think Hales.
Hales.
Yeah.
Probably Hales. Got a couple of Hales.
Yeah. The funny thing is, we'd probably just say Haley.
Some names like that, aren't there?
Yeah, I know. Haley, you know what? You have given us a challenge, because virtually everyone that we've had so far, we've just gone straight, we would just shorten it to this. We would just shorten it to that. Yeah, you've actually given us a hard one.
Yeah. So anyways.
We might take it off her last name, but
we don't have a last name.
Anyway, so Haley, or Hey or Hales, says, I enjoy listening to these guys talk because it's Bible-based faith brought into real life. My life is always challenged when they take the discussion and ask how can we use this new understanding in our lives. So thanks for that, Haley. It's cool to know that you're thinking very practically about it. You know,
yes.
I guess that's one of our mission statements, if you like. We want the podcast to be relevant and hopefully life changing. So,
You got to be able to use it, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. What's the point of talking if it's
not
going to be... I don't know. Well, I quite enjoy a purely intellectual conversation, but it is better when it's practical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of practical...
The series is pretty practical.
It is. Exactly. It is.
So, I don't know. I thought it was theoretical.
Just before we do that...
I'm going to recommend that the pastor visit you, Ben.
I will just throw it out there that we're starting to run out of reviews. So, so
don't make us write our own.
Yeah, don't exactly. We do not want to go there. We would like to retain our integrity at least. So, if you want to hear us keep reading reviews and you'd like us to read your review, please do so. Jump onto Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page or wherever it is that you want to leave us a review, and we would love to read it out on the show and give you a shout out. So. The first... Dave, why are you laughing at me again?
Oh, no, I'm just thinking, like, isn't it funny that some people would probably write us a review just to get a nickname?
Hey, it's part of the fun. So, basically, for the beginning of this series, you know, how to get the most out of church, there's an assumption baked into that statement.
First of all, you got to go to church to get anything out of it, don't you?
Exactly. And there's a lot of people that say, you know, even if they are Christians... that there's no real need. I don't have to go to church in order to be a Christian. So let's start there. What do you guys think of that statement? Why is it important to go to a church?
Yeah, I would start by saying I agree with that, that you don't need to go to church to be a Christian.
Yeah, you don't have to go to church to be saved. But... and
that's it is helpful.
I
think it would be quite limiting to any sort of ministry you can do as well. A church
even
is...
personal growth.
Yeah. Because you feed off each other, just like we're doing with this conversation.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, if you're in your own little bubble all the time, you don't often get challenged as much, whereas in church, there's going to be messy stuff going on, right? You know, there's going to be interpersonal dynamics that aren't going to be ideal, and that's part of the growth of church, you know? So, yeah, anyway, that's one thing, but we can probably talk more about those dynamics another time.
There's plenty of material there, right?
Yep.
So... Let's say it is important for us to be at a church, and which is what we're saying. But what happens if you are in somewhere where you're spoilt for choice, where you've got lots of churches around? How would you go about picking one?
Church surfing.
Church surfing.
Yeah, that's funny, but it's a legitimate option, because I feel like There's going to be a certain crowd that you're going to gel with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if you have lots of options, go and feel it out, you know.
Explore.
Get a sense of where you might like to fit in. And I would actually suggest trying each one multiple times because you guys would all be familiar. Like, we go to the same church ourselves, but there's some Sabbaths that are just really, like, you're feeling it, you know. Mm. You're really feeling the Spirit working in your heart. And it seems to be in the congregation that day. And then there are others where it's just mediocre. And that's cool. That's life. That's humanity. But if you go to a church on one of those days where it's mediocre and that's your judgment of that church, then you could actually miss out on the perfect church for you. So I would say, you know, go a couple of times, work your way around, feel it out.
Yeah.
I think one of the other things that is worth throwing in there is not simply asking where you're enjoying yourself the most.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to also ask yourself, where am I most needed?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, as an example, if you go to a church and you feel like it's not a particularly warm and welcoming church, but you have that gift of hospitality and extroversion where you're just a warm person towards others, then maybe, you know, talk to God about it. Maybe God's calling you to be that for that church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you never know. It's just a case of being aware of what God has entrusted you with, and what you're stewarding in your toolbox, so to speak, and then looking at where you're going to apply that to what church.
Mm-hmm.
I just had an epiphany while you were saying that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to two completely different people groups, and yeah, that's cool. I was thinking joining a church as somebody that's, you know, sort of fresh in the faith.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's a really good point. If you're not fresh in the faith,
yes,
then part of doing church is service. It's how can I be of the most benefit, most impact in this local church?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a cool point.
Mm. Mm. And I think the trump card for all of it is, where's God asking you to go? Right?
Yeah. And look, to be honest with you, I think let's be real about that, because I think there's maybe a little bit of... what would you call it? Mysticism surrounding the idea of God's will. And sometimes... we make it sound, as Christians, we make it sound a little bit more certain than it really is. Because, I mean, if I'm real, and I think maybe it's the same for you guys, but if I'm real about knowing God's will, I would say to you, like, 90% of the time, I don't feel confident that I know God's will. I just feel like I have an idea of it. Mm. And so I'm comfortable to run with the idea of it. And, you know, if God shows that it was wrong, then, you know, you'll change your trajectory.
Yeah.
But it's not something that you usually would get absolute certainty about. Mm-hmm. So when you say God says so, do it.
Yeah.
You're usually not going to get that audible voice that says, Luke Ferrugia, this is your home.
Yes. Go to this church.
Yeah.
This is my divine will.
It'll be more subtle than that. And sometimes it's actually really difficult to pick up on those subtleties.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I think also another key thing with joining a church is it's going to be the dynamics of your particular situation. If you're a single person, you know, you're probably spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
If you're a family person, you've got to consider your family situation too, right? With some people, like, they will choose a church based on what's going to be the very best for my kids.
Well, yes.
Think
about the two churches we have in town. There's slight age gaps that are missing, but the other church has got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So depending on what age people's children are, it usually is where they gravitate
yep.
to.
Yep.
And it kind of reinforces it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Because then you end up with more of the same, right?
Yeah.
But it is. It's very important, particularly for kids, to have that, you know, community around them at that age in church.
Yeah, yes. A couple year difference at our age means nothing. Whereas there, it's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
There is another thing to consider. This is one thing that I found out over in Cambodia is a church where you understand the language. It's kind of helpful.
No speaking the lingo.
Fortunately, in Australia, you're pretty safe. I mean, there might be a few exceptions.
But
this is true.
So, it is one thing, yeah.
So
practical.
If you sport for choice, you know, basically, I think go check it out, see what works, see where you believe God is ushering you towards where you can grow the best. But what if there's just one option in town?
Oh, well, then I think unless it's an extremely incompatible option, I think then you go there and you make the very best of that situation, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's largely about your own personal choice, your attitude, your motives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a verse that goes along with that in Hebrews 10 verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we're called to gather together in church sort of setting and other settings as well. For what purpose? You know, to encourage, build up people. Not just because I enjoy meeting with people. Mm. It's a mission.
Yep.
So like we were saying before, it's not always what can I get out of it, but also what can I put into it.
Yeah. And I think one of the big things as far as when there is one church that's not ideal, it is really important to go in fully committed. Right, you know, to don't just say, "Oh well, I'm gonna test the waters." Sure, test the waters, but if you commit to it, you're gonna get more out of it than if you are just hanging around the fringes, so to speak. So,
a lot more than if you just commit to complaining about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, complaining achieves nothing.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. So, what about if there's no option? What if you're living in an area where you don't have an option to go to church?
Do you mean a denominational option or just no church whatsoever? Because that would be fairly rare, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. So let's say denominational option. So like there may be a church, but...
That was actually a very Western comment, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because there's probably some places where it's more normal not to have a church. But anyway, forgive my ignorance.
Let's explore both of them a little bit, perhaps.
So if there's not a church of your particular denomination?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Good question.
Well, if there's people of your denomination around, then it makes very little difference as far as I'm concerned, because the building is just a meeting place. Mm-hmm. The actual church is the people. Mm-hmm. So as long as you've got other people about, then you've still got that church community.
Yeah. And when you think about missionaries, you may have read stories and stuff. How many people do they start out with? There's
few.
The missionaries.
I was going to say him or her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, if there's people around, you can witness. You can, you might start out with a home church with two or three people, and then slowly, it may grow, and you may be the founder of a wonderful church. Mm-hmm. But then, in other places, there is a lack of people. What do you do then?
Well, I think you have to ask yourself why you're there.
Well, there is also this wonderful thing that we have these days. Called the interweb, interweb, whichever you prefer calling it. There are online churches where people that, for whatever reason, whether they can't get out of home because they're infirm or something, or just plain isolated, they can still have that sense of community.
Good point.
Online.
Yeah, it does fill a great need. It really does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also think it's not wrong to go to another denomination.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, for us, it's difficult to find another denomination that worships on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, what you may have to do if you were in a situation where there was no church that was worshiping on Saturday is spend your Sabbath at home, you know, or maybe go bush or whatever works for you. But there's nothing wrong with then going and like you said from Hebrews before, that NATO, fellowshipping with other believers on a Sunday. Or potentially during the week, because a lot of other churches, other denominations will have small groups during the week, just like we often do in our churches. So I think fellowship is fellowship, no matter who the other people are. And you could look at that as a mission field if you so desire.
Well, I think that kind of wraps up a lot of the key ideas. One thing that we didn't mention is that if you are in a position where there's not a suitable church or however you want to wrap that particular idea, I don't think it's wrong to ask yourself why you are where you are, because I know I've spoken to Sarah about this, where we've said, hypothetically, we like where we are. We don't have any plans to leave this area. But if we were to move, what would be the causal factors? What would we take into consideration as to where we went? And, at least where I'm at in my life and my Christian experience right now, because so much of my life is wrapped around the church community, I would be making my decision probably largely based on what churches were available and what the community was like at those churches, based on where I would move. And so I think if you're in a place that's not working for your spiritual growth and also not affording you or not affording you opportunities for ministry, then there's nothing wrong with saying, well, where could I move to that I would be able to achieve that?
Yeah.
So,
oh, it's totally understandable. I mean, Seth is slowly getting older, so
yeah.
well, in the blink of an eye, really.
Yeah, happens that way.
Yeah, he kind of, he needs a good community around him to teach him the right ways.
Yeah. So I guess with that, we'll call this particular chapter to a close, and we'll be back with our next installment of this series of How to Get the Most Out of Church. We hope you enjoyed it, but yeah, we'll catch you guys next week. And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/oztabletalk, and you can give anything from even a dollar a month upwards, but at different levels there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.